Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for the Summer School of Truth. Amen. I have to apologize that I'm actually in a car right now. So you might be seeing some pedestrians behind me. Hopefully you're not distracted. We had an appointment that ran a little late in Brooklyn. So I'm here with my son and my brother, Jonathan. Hallelujah. We're in the car and we're enjoying the word. And we're really enjoying this summer school on the triune God. You know, among the six topics in the summer school, this many consider as one of the hardest. It's not so easy to talk about the triune God, that our God is both three and one. But yet, this is a wonderful truth from the Bible. Because of this truth, God to us is not just someone very objective and far away, having nothing to do with us. But the Bible reveals to us that this God who created the universe, he has a purpose, right? A little review from last week, yesterday's message by Brother Ricky, those five key words, I hope you still remember that first, God is one. The Bible reveals that God is one, and this God has a purpose, and that purpose has a lot to do with you and I, with human beings. For this purpose, he created the universe, and he created man in his image and according to, after his likeness and according to his image. So he created man with the intention that man would express him, not only individually, but corporately. And this is because he loved us. He loved us so much that he wanted us to express all his riches. And he loved us so much that he wants to give himself as life to us. So one of the other key words last night is the word life. God accomplished his purpose by life. And this last word that brother shared with us yesterday is this word triune. The God that's revealed in the Bible is triune. You don't find this word actually in the Bible, but the fact is there that God is not only three, not only one, but there's an aspect of three. And this is really something precious. So we would like to continue today. We'll come to the second outline. On your packet is on page 3. I hope all of you can open to that page and look up some verses as we share. We'll point out some verses for you to read and for you to pay attention to. And I will start the sharing on God being triune eternally. And my brother Pablo will continue with the essential and economical Trinity. Don't be fooled or don't be put out by these big words. These words are wonderful because they share a wonderful fact of God's dispensing into us. So I'll leave that to Brother Pablo. First, we have to see that God, as revealed in the Bible, is one. And just a reminder of your memory verse from yesterday's message. You know, Isaiah 45:4 tells us that I am Jehovah, and there is no one else. Besides me, there is no God, right? And that's a verse in the Old Testament part of the Bible. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 8:4, there's this phrase at the end. There is no God but one. There is no God but one. So we have to be clear that we believe, that there is only one God. There's no many gods. You know, some religion believe many gods. And actually the God that they believe are not really gods, but human beings. Possibly they did something heroic. They pass away. People want to remember them. And they made them in these religions gods. So there are many gods in those religions. But as Christians, as believers of the Bible, we believe that there is only one God. And this God is the God who created the universe. But yeah, the Bible is not that simple. Because even from the first page in the Bible in Genesis, one of your other memory verse, Genesis 1:26, right? It says, and God said, let us make man in our image. If you're a careful reader, right away you will, you might have this question. Why did this verse says, let us make man in our image? Isn't God one? The verses that I just quoted you before, Isaiah 45:4. There's no other God. But why did God in that verse says, let us, and in our image? Why does he use the plural number? Well, that's why we're having this summer school of the truth, to help us to understand that in the Bible, the God that's revealed, that is one, but there's an aspect of three. There's the distinction of three. And one of the most clear verse in the whole Bible is Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And maybe I'll help, ask the brothers to help me put it up. This verse, many of you have recently been baptized, many of the fifth and sixth graders. In Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the original language, Greek, the word name is singular. It's not names. There's only one name. But yeah, this name is of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we see this wonderful fact. We may not be able to explain to you how, but we just believe what the Bible says. And this is what the Bible reveals. The Bible reveals to us that there is only one God. We don't have three God. So some of the things that we are sharing today is to kind of help you even inoculate you against some of the inaccurate teaching that people have concerning the Bible, concerning God. One very common belief is that we have three God, right? I don't know if you have Muslim friends. Some of you may have friends, they're Muslim. You know, I had a few Muslim friends, and sometimes they would challenge me, or they say, well, you know, we Muslim have one God, but you Christians have three gods. And what they meant is Father, Son, and Spirit. So we have to remember that we only worship one God, and this God is the creator of the universe. But the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are not three separate gods. So the belief of three different God is called tritheism. Tri is the number three, is E-S-I-S-M is the belief of God, right? We are monoism. We're not tritheism. We believe in one God, even though the Bible does reveal the distinction of Father, Son, and Spirit. We do not believe that there are three gods, okay? So you have to be careful yourself. And also whenever you fellowship with other Christians, you need to help them to realize that the Bible didn't teach us that there are three gods. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. This is from your lesson, Roman numeral one. I won't take the time to read the verses, but I hope you can read these verses as the proof from the Bible to show us that the Father is God, the Son is God. In Hebrews 1:8, says, as to the Son, O God. And John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 tells us, and the Word became flesh, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God becoming a man. So the Father is God, Son is God, and the Spirit is also God. And that's mentioned in Acts 5:3-4. where they were lying. Some disciples were lying to the Holy Spirit, but actually they were lying to God. So we need to realize that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Spirit is God. And all three are eternal, right? Because they're God, they're eternal. There are three distinctions, but they're not three separate gods. So we do not believe in three different gods. I just want to repeat this point one more time. Because many Christians naturally consider that we have three gods. We do not have three gods. We have one God who is the triune God. He is three, he is one. We can understand. I remember one Bible teacher actually said, if you can understand and if you can explain this, you are God. You're actually God. So we could not explain how God is three yet one yet three, but we accept this fact or this truth that's revealed in the Bible. We cannot explain to you how, but the Bible does tell you why God needs to be triune. Brother Pablo will share a little bit more after that. Another misunderstanding concerning God is that, well, since God is one and yet three, so some people have the concept that the Father became the Son and there is no more the Father. And then the Son, after he died and resurrected, became the Spirit and there is no more the Son. This is called modalism, or that God exists in different modes. That is inaccurate also. That's wrong. That's not what the Bible reveals. And I want to bring up Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. You know, this portion on the Lord's baptism clearly show us that all three exist at the same time. You know, having been baptized, Jesus came up from the water, and behold, the heaven were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. And behold, a voice out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. This is from the Father. So in this picture, or in this time of the Lord's baptism, we see that the Lord was baptized, and then the Spirit came upon him as a dove, and the Father spoke from the heaven. So they coexist at the same time. So it is inaccurate, it is wrong to say that once the Father became that the Father became a Son and there is no longer the Father. They coexist at the same time. So in Roman numeral 4, I'd like you to highlight and underline this word coexist. So the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they coexist eternally. And not only so, if you read this point, it says the Father, the Son, and the Spirit not only coexist, but also co-inherit, which means that they live within one another eternally and are not three separate gods. So they coexist. I think this might be a little bit easier to understand. But what does co-inherit mean? I think to many young people, even to myself, to many adults, this is not a word that we use in normal conversations. Co-inherit. This word means living within one another. And I find the most clear way to understand this word is actually from what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 11 and 20. So I'll ask the brothers bring up those two verses. Now in these two verses, the Lord said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And if you do not believe this, believe the word, believe the works themselves. So the Lord says very simply that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He's in the Father and the Father is in him. So this is co-inheriting. It's He's in the Father, and he's, and the Father is in him. They live within each other. What is this? I'm not sure I can explain clearly. Actually, within the physical realm, there's no illustration of co-inherence. That's something that a living person lives in one, and that person lives in him. I cannot explain it, but I accept what the Bible says, that the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son, right? And not only so, look at verse 20. Here the Lord says, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Wow, what is this? The Lord says that he will be, that we will be in him, the Son, and he will be in us. And since he is in the Father, if we're in him, we're also in the Father. And the Father is in him, the Father's now also in us. Wow. I really enjoyed this today, that the oneness of the triune God is actually a model, a basis for our oneness. And the Lord Jesus has come from God so that he can now bring us to God. So the Father is in him, and he's in the Father. And today he is in us, and we're in him. We are also co-inherent with the Son, with the triune God. This is just wonderful. And this is something that we have experienced. It's very hard to explain, I tell you, but this is something that we've experienced when we believe in the Lord, that we're one with the triune God, and the triune God is one with us. Hallelujah. So I think I can just say that much. But remember, this triune God is for our experience, and he wants to dispense more of himself into us. I'll pass it on to our brother Pablo. Continue. Amen.
Is this on? Okay.
You want to switch back now?
Amen.
That's okay.
This is one of those few times that I say, praise the Lord for technology. Our brother Frank just ministered to us from his car. Words of life were coming out of that car. Wow. And those people were walking by and behind him. They had no idea the words that he was speaking. Praise the Lord. He was speaking the highest word. Amen. So can everyone hear me and see me? Okay, we're here coming to you live from the Boston area, but so happy to be with so many on Zoom. And we're going to continue this outline. Start my timer. Okay. Okay. So I'm a firm believer in something simple. I'm a firm believer that repetition equals penetration. Okay. I just am a firm believer that repetition equals penetration. So the more you hear something again and again, the more it gets into you. Eventually, it becomes part of you, okay? So today, I might repeat something a lot. So if I repeat something, what does that mean? It's important, okay? If I repeat something, it means it's important. Okay. Okay, so our brother Frank just went over the first four Roman numerals. And I'm so happy to be in the Summer School of Truth, learning about who God is. Are you happy to be learning about your God?
Amen.
Right? Not everyone is clear about who God is. Not everyone can tell you the things that Brother Frank was saying. A lot of Christians can't tell you about those things. But we're here in high school and in junior high learning about God, learning about the triune God. So what did he say? He said that the triune God is, they're all God, right? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they're all God, right? One is a lesser God. Now one is kind of a God, but not really a God. They're all God, okay? All three of them are God. And all three of them coexist from eternity to eternity. From the beginning was all three, right? There's this verse. Sorry, I don't have any slides, but I'll just say this verse that I love. Isaiah 9:6. Maybe you memorized it. What does Isaiah 9:6 say? For a child is given to us, a son is born to us. Da-da-da-da, go down. Eternal Father. So if there's an eternal Father, what does that imply, Ethan? Okay, Eldon, if there's an eternal father, what does that imply? That's right. If there's an eternal father, there's an eternal son. Okay, so we have an eternal father, we have an eternal son, and in Hebrews 9:14, it says there is an eternal spirit. So are all three eternal? Are you clear from the word? Okay, no one can change your mind. Okay, all three are eternal, and all three coexist from eternity to eternity. But you could see these words coexist, cohere. Even Brother Frank was having some trouble because it's like Brother Ricky said last night, it's difficult. It's almost impossible to explain how God is triune, right? It's very hard to explain how he is triune. Actually, John Wesley, a very famous Christian, if you don't know who he is, very useful, way back, he said, "Bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and I'll show you a man that can understand the triune God." Okay? So it's very difficult to understand the quote, right? So the triune God, Gabe, is not for understanding, okay? But guess what? We can surely talk about why he is triune. We can explain how he is triune, coexist, cohere, all three. You see that verse in John 27? I and you, you and me, I and me. I get confused. You know, funny story, one time in the training, and I was in the full-time training, I was answering a question in class. I got asked to stand up. And they asked me, I was sharing on that verse, and I said, praise God. I forgot how the verse goes. I'm in you, you and me, and I'm in you. And I think I said something like, I'm in myself. I just got confused by the verse. So the triune God in his cohering and coexisting is not for understanding, but it's for enjoying, okay? So let's get into the why, okay? So we can answer why he is triune. Okay, so yesterday night, our brother Ricky gave us five words. And who can give me a sister? What was the second word from the five words that Ricky gave us? I said a sister, but amen. It's okay. It's okay, bro. Good. I like that. Boldness. Purpose. Okay. Purpose was the word. Okay. So our God is a God of purpose, right? He has a purpose. And here I want to read, maybe all of us, let's read. Hold on. Let's wait on that. Let's read Roman numeral 5 together. Roman numeral 5. Ready, set, go. In his essence, God is. Is from eternity to eternity.
And they always cohere in oneness. Their essence, life, and being are one.
Amen. Okay, so that's kind of what I just said, what Brother Frank just said. He's eternally one. He coexists. In essence, he's one, and he will always be one, okay, from eternity to eternity. So we're clear. Okay, I want to move on to Roman numeral 6. And here is where we begin to answer the question of why, okay? We're going to begin to answer, why is he triune? Praise the Lord, we can answer that question, okay? So it's related to that word, purpose. Okay, so now let's read Roman numeral 6 all together. In order to carry out God's tremendous purpose, the Father,
the Son, and the Spirit each have a distinct function. This is the triune God in his economy.
Amen. Okay, I want you to grab your pen and circle, underline, highlight, tremendous purpose. Circle tremendous purpose. I like that description. Tremendous. Circle distinct function. Circle distinct function. And then the last word, circle economy. Okay, everyone, circle economy. Okay. So our God has a tremendous purpose. Let's all say that. Tremendous purpose. Wow, I like the sound of that. Okay, so, and this is to answer the why, okay? So why is God triune? So do you have a purpose, Gabe? You have a purpose? You know, we're young, but, you know, we can have a purpose, you know, in life. Maybe it's not related to this. Maybe your purpose, your calling is for. Do you have a cause, you know? I'll tell you a story. I have a friend, a dear brother, who at a young age, he found his purpose. He found his cause, right? And he loved something and he wanted to give his life for this purpose. He really thought that his calling in life, you know what his purpose was? He thought it was to save the oceans. It was to save the turtles and the dolphins. And he grew up in the beach and, you know, he grew up in somewhere else. He really grew up with this feeling like he just, you know, noble cause, right? Was that noble or not? Yeah, sure, yeah, right? This full of, you know, coral reefs are dying. So he really thought this and he went to school for this. He studied marine biology. He got a degree. And he gave his life for a few years for this. He went to some islands in the Pacific, you know, some nice beachy island. He was enjoying his life and enjoying his purpose. This was his call. He gave his life for this. A few years he was there. And, you know, it's really interesting. As he was there in doing his job one time, I think he said he was maybe like scuba diving. Can you imagine? Have anyone scuba dived? Been scuba diving before? Oh, okay, Carolina. I have too. It's amazing. Yeah, scuba diving, you just transport it to another universe. You're just surrounded and it's like dead quiet. And all you see is like beautiful fish and just like, it's amazing. You're like, what? There's another world under the water. So anyways, he was there, okay? Doing his job, you know, teaching locals about how to take care of the coral reefs and kind of doing his thing. And he said that there, one word came to him. I think it was, it's creator. And he just realized there's a creator. There's no way there's this many colored fish and there's this many beautiful animals and reefs and there's no creator. So something spoke to him. You know, you need to know this verse. In Romans, there's a verse that says that creation speaks to us, God himself, right? That creation tells us about God. Well, that verse came true that day to that brother. And he realized, whoa, there's a creator. And then he went back home. He kept this little Bible in his backpack. He had gone away for a while, but he kept the Bible in his backpack. He went home, started reading the Bible. And the Lord more and more spoke. And he said, you know, you're here for your purpose, serving the coral reefs. I'm the creator. I have a purpose. Wow. And it's much higher than saving the coral reefs. It's much higher than saving the turtles and the dolphins. And this brother went back home. He left that island, as nice as it was, right? I would love to live on an island. But anyways, yeah. When you get called by the Lord, you leave. He went back home. And, long story short, now he serves the Lord and his purpose was shifted 180 degrees. He found the real purpose. He found the real cause. Okay, why do I tell that story? Well, I'm hoping and I'm praying. All of our purposes. I don't know what your purpose is in life. You know, I don't know. Maybe you want to go to school for, you know, be a doctor. You want to save lives. Very noble. Awesome. Yeah, do that. Maybe you want to be a developer, make technology to help people. I don't know. I would hope at some point in your life, you find the real cause and God's purpose becomes your purpose. Okay. And now, God's purpose is all related to his heart's desire. This is what's in his heart. And this is what's related to the triune God. This is why he is triune, okay? So now, and another word for his purpose is God's economy, okay? So he has a purpose and he made a plan. He's like, this is my purpose. I'm going to make a plan, right? Everyone would do that, right? If your purpose is to become a doctor, what do? You make a plan, right? I'm going to study. I'm going to get a good grades. I'm going to take the MCAT. I'm going to get to a good medical school. It's a long plan, okay? You got to go to medical school. But you have to make a plan. Well, God made a plan. And the plan included time, stepping into time. God dwells in eternity, but he made a plan, okay? And let's find out what God's economy is. Let's all read letter A under 6. Let's all read A. Ready? Go. God's economy is to work himself. That's a good definition. If you want to know what God's economy, that's a good definition from God's economy. You should remember that. is to work himself into us. Another word I like to use that I think Brother Ricky used last night, to dispense himself. And if you forget everything I said today and you don't remember anything, please remember this sentence, okay? God is triune for dispensing. What? Dispensing? What is he dispensing? Yes. Himself. Where is he dispensing it? I want you to write me. Make it personal. God is dispensing himself into me, okay? So God is triune for dispensing himself into us, okay? Let's all read this together. God is triune for dispensing himself into me. Amen. Okay, so now let's talk about his Trinity. Okay, how is he triune for this? Okay, so I made a circle that those words, distinct function, right? So when it comes to his economy, he is essentially one from eternity to eternity. He will always be one. But when it comes to his economy, the three come into play. Each one has a very important role, okay? And three words I want you to remember for each of the three in the Godhead, okay? Write these words down. Write bigger? Okay. Write these words down. Planner, accomplisher, and applier. Okay? So, right, these are related to each of the Godhead. Okay? So, this is the Father, this is the Son, and this is the Spirit. Okay? So they're one, but in God's economy, they each have a distinct function. That means a very specific job in what they're trying to, in this plan, right? It's an awesome plan. They all have a job. Okay, so I'm going to just run through these three words with Ephesians 1, okay? So Ephesians 1 tells us what each of these do, okay? So if you have your Bible, you can turn to, if you have your Bible, I love seeing physical Bibles. Turn to your Bible, and we're going to run through what each one of these does, okay? One, verses 3 to 14. So I'm just going to go quickly, okay? So the Father, in verse 3, he blesses us, okay? So he blessed us. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the planner, okay? Verse 4, he chose us. The Father chose us. This is all related to the Father. And in verse 5, he predestinated us. Wow, it's good to be predestinated. Hallelujah. Okay, so the Father had his job. He's the planner, okay? He's sort of behind the scene. He's planning everything out. He's laying out the blueprint. And there's a plan, and then what do you need? You need an accomplisher, someone to come in and be like, okay, I'm going to carry out this plan. So what does the Son do? The Son comes into time, and in verse 7, his main job was redemption. So he redeemed us. Redemption. So the Son came. The Father had something in his heart, and the Son came to accomplish that in time, right? You can't see the Father. The Son came, and he did what the Father had in his mind. He had chosen us. He redeemed those that were chosen. What else did he do? Released God's life, which is his life. Released God's life on the cross. Right, we'll see this. There's messages when we get into the work and person of Christ. We'll see how that he releases life. Okay, and then what does the Spirit do? Once everything is accomplished, then it needs to be brought to us, right? So, you know, Christ's work on the cross can be maybe just distant in the future, right? In the past, sorry. It can be just, you know, just events. You know, he died on the cross. Great. You know, he resurrected. Awesome. But what about me today? You know, like, what do I do today? If you know, great thing that he died and resurrected, but what do we need? We need an applier. We need someone to come and apply all of this to us, okay? And here the word is in verse 13, seals. He sealed us. You know, like a stamp, he seals us with all of this is included in the sealing of the Spirit. Every time the Spirit comes and he seals us and includes all of this, okay? And then he is also the pledge. I like this word, pledge. That means he is a pledge of our inheritance, means he's like a sample of everything we're going to get when, you know, like it's just a small sample, right? If you buy a piece of land in the olden times, they used to give you a little sample of the land so you make sure that it's good. So the Spirit is like the pledge. We've received everything in a small size, okay? So this is why he is triune. If he was only the planner, if you only have the planner, how can he reach you, right? If you had the planner and the accomplisher, he came and he did the work. But maybe it was good for those who were around him at the time, you know, like the disciples. That's great, you know, like to be around Jesus. You ever desire to be alive in the time of Jesus? Curtis did. I did too. I be with the Lord. Sure. But what? He was only alive for 33 and a half years. What about the rest of humanity? Yeah. What happens with the rest of us who were born 33 AD and after, right? Like we don't get Jesus? That's why you need an applier. And this is the key for today. I hope you love the applier. The applier is called the Spirit. And we have the Spirit today to apply all of God's economy to us. So that everything from eternity past, all that he went into, coming into time, dying, you know, his human living, you know, all of this is all applied to us as the Spirit. Okay, and I'm gonna have to finish, right? Okay, just a quick example. Okay, what is this? Orange. It was an orange, right? Okay, I brought an orange because I'm gonna end with this example. I was gonna bring a watermelon, but didn't have too big. I was gonna bring a coconut, but I couldn't do it. But this will do. This will do. Okay, so this is an orange. Okay, just imagine if it was bigger. It could be anything. This could work with any fruit, almost. This example, just as it is, for you to like here. For you to eat that, just like straight up. It's kind of hard, right? Like to bite into that skin. It's not easy, right? What do you need to do, right? This is not very easy to consume, right? So you need to what? Yes, that's right. You need to cut it, right? Oh. Right? So in this form, it's a little bit more edible, right? Like you could see the fruit. You could, yeah, bite into it. Yeah, sure. You still need your teeth, though, right? You still need to chew it a little bit. It's not like, okay. But then there's another form that's even more easy to consume, right? Okay, there's another form that's even more easy to consume. What is that? Oh. Well, this is freshly squeezed oranges from Wegmans, okay? Not sponsored. No, okay. So I just want to make it so clear to you. The planner in his form, God the Father, in an approachable light, invisible. How are you going to get him here on the earth? How, you love God? Sorry, bro. He's just a planner. You know, he's just up there. You need him to come. So the planner came. Hallelujah. So Jesus was around the earth, a little more approachable, visible, touchable, right? You could come. He could be with a few. He was with 12 guys for, you know, 3 years. Praise the Lord. But still, just not everyone, right? But when he became the Spirit, oh, so easy and easy to consume. I'm going to take a sip because my mouth is dry. Wow. Easy. You don't need to chew. You don't need to do anything. You just drink. So that's our God. Our God today in his Trinity is ready to dispense himself into us. And this dispensing is happening all the time, okay? It never stops. Sometimes we close up, sometimes we're not open, but his dispensing is every day. Like the juice is ready to be poured. Have you ever seen a dispenser? It just is always flowing. But what, okay, finish with this application. I hope from now on you realize that this God in his Trinity, with all that he is ready to dispense himself into us. Amen. And it's not about like summer school or true dispensing, like all at once. Yeah, this is good. You know, every so often we get like a big drink. But what I'm burdened for it is that you would have a long-term view. Because it's the little drinks every day, day by day, week by week, year by year, that eventually add up. And eventually, that's what really matters, right? If you just live from conference to conference, you won't get much. But if you learn to every day, you know, and I'll get some examples are like how to get filled, how to receive the dispensing. Read your Bible. Read your Bible a little bit every day, a few verses. Read your Bible. Two, talk to the Lord. That's another way to get filled. Just a little bit. Talk to the Lord a little bit, right? Last week we were talking about time with the Lord. Even if it's just, Lord, whatever, I'm not feeling it today. Lord, I don't know if I love you today. You know, whatever is on your heart. When we do that, the dispensing, a little bit of dispensing. Another thing I like, sing. Sometimes you just sing a song, just sing a little chorus. You know this chorus? God's dispensing, his economy, in his Trinity, his transfusing, and he's mingling all he is to me. Dispense, dispense, dispense. Every time you turn, a little dispensing, a little drop. Tomorrow, you turn again, another little drop. You add the 365 days of the year, whew, you get a lot of drops. A lot of God in you got dispensed. Okay, so don't just rely on the big meetings, okay? But it is good to go to the meetings, though. Because when you go to a meeting, no matter what it is, who here goes to a home meeting? Anyone go to a home meeting? It's good to go to home meetings, right? You go, and you never leave, like, you always leave a little encouraged, a little happy. At least something gets in. So, you know, don't despise the meetings. And this is how we enjoy the dispensing. Okay, so let's read this one more time to end. God is triune for dispensing himself into me. Amen. Okay, I'll stop there. Praise the Lord.